Round one, fight!
Hello everyone, this is episode 11 of Don't Be a Scrub Podcast. My name is Spider Carnage, aka VerboSmeet on Xbox Live. My interviewing partner is Mutton01 on PSN and Xbox.
Yeah.
And today we're doing the Toxie interview. We have a special guest for this interview. It's Spoony. Hello, Spoony.
Hey, Spoony Gosling.
Spoony Gosling on Xbox.
Whatever. It's something. Spoony's just so much easier. I don't know, what the hell's the last bit mean anyway?
Doesn't mean anything. That's the point.
What does spoony mean?
Is it
a sexual position?
Well, it's spooning.
It's just a swear word from Final Fantasy.
Oh.
It's a fake swear word.
Oh. I did not know that. That's cool. That's pretty cool.
Alright. So, yeah. The Toxie interview. Well, God, I think when we were doing this interview, I think all three of us were quite nervous because we actually haven't done an interview with anyone since Shadow of Showdown.
Yeah.
Toxie was the first interview that we did, basically post Shadow of Showdown. We almost had, 2 months?
Two months of editing?
And I would say that I was never that good an interviewer to begin with. Yeah.
No, it was alright. I think it was interesting because I think we covered a lot of good topics, a lot of history stuff, which Toxie came around, which was good.
I
think it's really good because we do want to get some of the historical stuff of how the scene was in Australia, and he has been around for quite a while.
Yeah, he has.
So it was good to get those things.
Yeah. So we had Galactic Circus just 2 days ago on Thursday, and we had a good turnout of 45 people.
Yeah, which was quite surprising because the previous one was only, about 20-something?
Yeah, it was good.
28.
Yeah. It was an awesome turnout, and hopefully good. We can continue the support so that GC doesn't shut down the tournament.
No, I don't think they will. If we keep getting around 40-50 people, it should be quite good.
Yeah, and Toxie won that, and I think second place was Sol with Sakura, and Somniac. Yeah.
Okay. So Somniac again.
Yeah, Somniac again. Wow. Somniac beat Heavy in I think, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Heavy Somniac's out. Really stepped up his game this year.
And Pharaoh got top 8 again, the guy player. So he's making splashes in the scene, and we probably all need to go in the lab and learn how to beat the freaking elbow drop.
Up kicks. You can just DP it.
Spoony, how does Chun-Li deal with Guy's elbow drop?
Don't stand anywhere where it works. You can't do anything.
But what if he knocks you down? So you can't do anything?
You can't really. Because anything that you would anti-air it, he can just whiff in front of you and punish.
But can't you just backdash?
Yeah, I mean, your main defense is to backdash or forward dash so that you're not in that position where he can do that.
Does he stop the expanding Buriki?
No, he just does the elbow drop earlier and punishes. So you just have to space.
So are you saying that if he doesn't meet you, your bird will beat it up?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like if he just does the elbow drop on you, you can do stuff.
Okay.
But because he can just whiff it and bait it very easily.
And you can just up kicks.
Yeah, but I have to delay it because of Guy's floaty jump. It has to be delayed by about a quarter of a second more. Than on the usual timing. But yeah, that's the thing with most guys, it's because he's so floaty, similar to Bison, you just have to delay it just that extra second because he's in the air that bit longer.
I see.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it was good top 8. I saw, Cactus was only top 8. Mm-hmm. And I saw a few things that I didn't know before, like Sakura can punish EX Cycle Crusher with DP.
Yes.
So that made me so envious.
Yeah, Sakura's gotten a lot better in AE. They finally fixed most of her issues. So was Guy, actually. Yeah. Guy got a lot better as well.
And Sol did like a ghetto option select in which he jumped in on Somniac or something, and then he did option select jump back, roundhouse or something, and it beat the Devil's Reverse, and that was awesome. It made me envious again.
new technology.
New technology.
New Sakura technology.
Ghetto jump back, roundhouse.
That's getting fairly popular, the jump back versus Bison. And it makes it easier to punish the Psycho Crusher too.
Yeah, you get a bigger punish rather than just forming a Tatsu 120 damage, right? Yeah.
Actually, Sakura's Tatsu 120?
No, I think my option is Tatsu is 120.
For Ryu.
Yeah, for Ryu. Yeah. But if you jump back, you can easily get, 200 plus.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We also had Final Round 14 last weekend in America, which was... had upsets all around.
Yeah.
PR Balrog dominated Super. Well, I wouldn't say dominated, but he won it.
So what do you think of Tokido's performance at final round?
man. Well, first day he was ripping people apart in the team tournament in Super. And in Marvel he was actually doing quite well as well. But...
So did he fimble?
I don't know. I can't really say.
Well, what do you think, Spoonie? Was he got broken?
I didn't see much of
Tokido's
performance.
Oh, okay, okay.
Maybe he just got downloaded. Like everybody.
But it has been quite a while. I mean, like, the last major that Balrog won was what? Back in... The first final round of Vanilla Street Fighter 4, right? Like, Gutex won.
Really?
Was it Devastation or final round?
I think it was Devastation.
Alright, yeah, but it hasn't been a major since then that Balrog has won a Street Fighter 4 major, right?
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because Justin Wong lives in America.
Yeah, but Ricky Ortiz was there, and so was Filipino Champ, and...
Yeah, they played...
I think they played each other early, actually. I think Filipino Champ was complaining in one of the interviews that they were done with him.
It was in Toxic Stink. It was out of pools. So he was just complaining needlessly. It's like, once you're out of pools, you don't get to complain anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's your philosophy. Out of pools, you don't get to complain anymore. Yeah.
Well, I mean, here, that means, like, top 8.
Okay, okay.
Also, shout-outs to Spooky for working 73 hours on the stream.
Holy shit, Spooky.
That's crazy.
It's insane.
I reckon Spooky has, like, a twin brother, and they just, like, just walk around.
A clone, yeah.
Yeah.
It's zero kill.
Zero kill. It doesn't make sense that one person can, you know, be that hardworking and not die of malnutrition.
Exhaustion. Well, I mean, they also did this Super Turbo stream, which was really awesome. Unfortunately, Stick died.
Yeah, I did not get to see Darkseid Phil versus Tokido.
Yeah, but that was in HDR, not in ST.
Oh, so who won?
Well, Tokido won ST,
and
Tokido won HDR. But they didn't meet in ST, they met in HDR.
HDR, so...
And DSP Tokido doesn't really play HDR.
Oh, okay.
And they changed a few things with Vega in HDR. Because they didn't play classic mode, they actually play HDR with all the changes.
Okay, okay.
But yeah, apparently it's going to be on the video, so, on the DVD, so...
Okay, awesome.
It should be good.
So what do you think of the Marvel finals, Boone?
The
juicy Marvel finals.
I thought it was awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, it was quite good.
In retrospect, after it's been, a week after it? Like, I was thinking back to the couple, you know, the big splashes back at the start of Vanilla Street Fighter 4 that kind of catapulted the scene and streams, that sort of thing. Like, for example, Combo Fiends come back at the SBO qualifiers.
Ah, yes.
Remember? Yeah. So I was thinking, like, this could be a similar jump starting point for Marvel, you know, something, a big iconic moment for Marvel, and maybe Marvel will continue to, you know, get bigger.
Oh, I think it will. In America, it's huge. I mean, they had, over 18,000 people on the stream?
But it's not really catching on in Melbourne, wouldn't you say?
No, it's not. But Australia, I think, like I said, I think that's something that we actually mentioned in the Doxy interview, is that we're basically a one-trick pony.
Yeah.
We basically play Street Fighter, and that's usually it.
What do you think?
We're still getting numbers. We're still getting 30 people. Yeah. I mean, the Street Fighter... Some of the recent Street Fighter tournaments have only been 30 people.
Mm. That's true, yeah.
I'm not sure what's going to happen. I'm not sure where it's going to solidify. It might just be low because it's the start of the year. I mean, we've seen the Galactic Circus turnout get much higher.
Yeah.
It could be that the other turnouts also get higher, and that could include Marvel. I think it's too early to tell. And there's certainly, there's top players who are taking Marvel seriously, so it's going to be a serious game whether or not that many of the masses take it up, by the way.
So, Spoonie, as a player, do you feel happy or sad that two of the best players in the US are playing She-Hulk, your character? Are you happy or do you feel...
Probably sad.
Probably sad?
I'm not learning much from watching them.
Oh! Why are you not learning much from watching
them? I'm not sure, they're just...
Because he's mastered everything.
Yeah, he's mastered everything.
He is the next Justin Wong.
Is it because, like, sometimes when I watch what Justin Wong does, I'm like, I don't think I can do that. Like I don't think I can make wins like that. Or I know where I can do that combo thing combo.
Yeah,
or something like that.
There's a reason why they call him combo thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy.
Some of the run cancel stuff they do is like, forget it.
Yeah.
I can do it like 1 in 5 times in training mode.
But don't you think it's sad that, you know, like Keats, I was listening to the Wake Up SLK podcast, and Keats was saying that you can get way more damage off the bionic arm, you can X Factor and dash up and combo whatever. But then, but that means you won't get to see epic double bionic arms that give the commentators a chance to yell bionic.
But the combo that you, like, the relaunch combo ends in bionic arm.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be as epic as, you know, another straight bionic arm. You know what I mean? It's kind of sad, but I'm sure Combo Fiend will do the more damaging combo in the future. Yeah.
I'm sure there will still be lots of chances for people to yell Bionic Arm.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I think it'll just happen just when it does it the first time.
Yeah.
If it's just going to be Bionic Arm all around.
It got me thinking as well, and when did Justin Wong stop doing Raise the Roofers?
I can't really remember. He stopped doing it a little while ago.
Yeah.
He didn't do it much after.
I don't think he really ever did it anyway that much.
He only did it a couple of times, then people went, oh, we've seen it too many times now.
Mm.
Yeah, but I mean,
I think Flo was doing it more than Justin Wong.
Okay, but I think such gestures off on the players, off on the crowd, lend itself more to Marvel than Street Fighter.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, the crowd was going absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, during Street Fighter, it's like watching a golf club tournament.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Godlike Tokido. Yes. By the options.
Good work. Another good option. Work. In Marvel, they're like freaking savages, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, you know what it actually really reminds me of? It reminds me of watching, say, like a cricket match.
Yeah.
And then watching a European soccer match, where when they're rioting and going absolutely nuts. That's cricket is Super Street Fighter 4.
And
Marvel is the soccer insanity.
Yeah.
In like in Brazil or somewhere.
Yeah, Argentina.
Boca yeah, Argentina, yes. Yeah. So where they start throwing chairs.
You miss a penalty, or sniper is aiming at you right now.
Yeah. Soccer.
So what about the tournament scene in Melbourne? Now we're having like an arcade tournament like every week. And we've got a console meetup like...
every week.
Pretty much every week.
So we have two events every week. So what do you guys think? Is it too much of a good thing?
No, actually, I think it's really good.
Yeah?
It's good.
Yeah, I think it's good, and I think it also gives Ali's X-Report something to talk
about.
Which is really good as well, because I actually really enjoy that show.
Yeah.
And I think once they work out a few kinks, it's going to be a lot better as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm hoping he also takes the national as well, so you can get reports, say, from Sydney, WA, whenever they have any tournaments on and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Get people... it's easy to splice video, and all I have to do is just take an interview of the event, send it down, incorporate it.
Yeah, well, what do you think of the X-Report?
Yeah. It's good. I think it's promising.
It's a good start. Spoonie for co-host.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
You're at all the events anyway, most of the time.
No, I haven't been going to the Thursday ones.
Okay.
And actually, that's why they're good. It's good to have multiple events a week so that people with weird schedules can make at least once a week. And we have the people to do it. Like, we're getting 30, 40 people even when we're having two events a week.
Do you think Toxie should like pre-record like a winning speech? Every time he wins, he just plays that same 30 seconds. I won Super. It was good. I won Marvel. My performance. He just plays it back.
Hey, he's still undefeated in Marvel. Like
he is?
Yeah, he's like, what, 48-0 or something?
I played him this week on Xbox Live and it was a slaughter.
Yeah, no. What I mean is like in tournament.
Yeah,
I think
he was undefeated
when it comes to sets.
So. I think he's going to be undefeated for quite a while.
Mm.
Yeah.
Unless you become god like in Marvel, you go.
No.
Well, why can't you become god like in Marvel?
Because I play too much ST.
Yeah, sure.
You're the one who made top 3.
Yes. Yeah. And top 5.
When?
Last one. The last CCH, I think.
No, I just made top 8 at the CCH before that.
Oh, okay.
But the following tournament, I got like 30 something. So yeah, that's my true potential.
30. Mm-hmm. Hey, 30 something's not bad.
Yeah, I came back down to earth and I got raped by Tuck and it was...
Yeah, your Sentinel got zoned pretty hard.
Yeah. It was hilarious the way I lost though, my first game like against Shade. Like, I didn't know that Kuma's demon goes through projectiles.
Yeah.
So like, he did a demon and I did the Sentinel Super.
Twice.
Twice. I'm a slow learner.
Nothing wrong with that.
Oh man.
Okay, I think that's gonna wrap it up for the... intro.
Yeah.
As always, you can find a full transcript on Martin's blog, being a scrub at
WordPress.com.
And yeah, enjoy the interview.
This is Salty from Shadaloo.com, and you're listening to Don't Be a Scrub podcast. Stay salty, Australia.
So, hello everyone, we're here at Deakin University, one of the first Deakin Unis for 2011, and we have a very special guest with us today. Yes, we actually finally got to grab him. It's Toxie, so hello.
Hello.
Hi, Toxie. How's your week been, Toxie?
It's been good.
Been good? Have you been enjoying Marvel?
Yeah, a lot.
A lot. Awesome. So, Why don't you tell us a little bit about your competitive gaming history?
I've been playing Street Fighter for a long time. Yeah. Played a bit of Warcraft 3.
Oh, you played Warcraft 3?
Yeah. And that's about it. Just Street Fighter and then a bit of Warcraft.
What was your race in Warcraft 3?
Undead.
Undead. Yes.
Oh. Best race ever.
Yeah.
Who was your favorite player in Warcraft 3?
I don't know. I didn't have one.
Oh, you didn't follow
No.
See, I didn't follow the competitive scene either. I just played with my friends, basically.
Yeah.
Good fun.
So what was your first Street Fighter game then? That I played competitively?
Yeah. Probably when I became competitive, the time X-Men came out and Alpha 2 and that. That's when I started to get really into the games a lot.
I see.
96?
Yeah, 96. But from what I remember, the in the arcade in Australia, X-Men vs. Street Fighter didn't come maybe until 97. Maybe 97 or something. Yeah, so, yeah, about that time is when I started to get...
Actually play properly
and stuff like that, yeah.
So you've been playing for more than 10 years, basically.
Yeah.
Wow. So back then when you played X-Men, which arcade did you play at?
I used to play at High Point.
Oh,
Playtime.
So are you sad that the sticks became so thin?
Actually, High Point, Playtime at High Point was actually one of the best arcades.
Yeah, yeah.
And then once the technician left, he left maybe, I don't know now, maybe 5-6 years, something like that.
Yeah.
Then after that, the arcade just went downhill and none of the machines were maintained or anything. And since then, I pretty much stopped going there.
Did they have the fat mouse sticks?
Basically, like when I was in high school, they used to have the MCA sticks, and now these days you go to Playtime, it's just like any random stick they've got left, they'd put that on. So it's just, I don't know, they put anything there now.
That's interesting, because the Geelong arcade back in those days, the Time Zone one, which is still there, which I used to go to, they actually had a mixture between the Japanese arcades, like X-Men had the Japanese buttons and the sticks, but like when Marvel Super Heroes vs. Street Fighter came out, they actually had the MOS, like the big thick baseball ones, so it was quite a big difference.
Yeah.
Also, all the Neo Geo boards actually had the Japanese buttons and sticks as well, which was really interesting.
But tell us a little bit about more how you got into X-Men, like when you discovered like you were the best at X-Men, who was your main competition at that time?
I don't know, as soon as I saw X-Men, I walked into the arcade and I saw that game and I was just in shock, like I couldn't believe that there was Marvel and Street Fighter in the same game, you know?
Yeah.
So, and as soon as I saw the gameplay, it was totally different than regular Street Fighter, and because I'm young, like all these air combos and supers and that really attracted to me, because I was about 13 years old when I first played it, so that really, I really loved it, and I was hooked on that.
Are you a big Marvel fan in general?
Not really a big Marvel fan.
Okay.
But yeah, I watch the cartoons and that, but I don't read comic books or anything. But yeah, I like it, but not really into it.
I mean, look, the X-Men 90s cartoon was the thing that got me into actually playing X-Men vs. Street Fighter. I actually got all the DVDs recently and rewatched it. Great show.
So, I mean, what was your first tournament, X-Men tournament? High Point?
First X-Men tournament? That was probably years later.
Years later.
When I was young, there wasn't really any type of tournaments or anything.
You just go and play.
And then I pretty much stopped playing games for about 3 or 4 years. And then when I came back again, that's when I started playing tournaments.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, the first tournament was probably at High Point or something like that.
See, because I remember that as well, because back in those days, I remember there was one, at least there was one Street Fighter competition in 95, I think, that Blockbuster ran, just before they actually ran I don't know if you guys remember, but there was a NBA Live 96 and a TE, big national tournament that they ran. Before that, they actually ran Super Street Fighter 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I actually entered that and I won the Geelong Regional.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that was my one failed glory. But then back in those days, there wasn't actually any sort of like really a scene that I remember. There were just random arcades where people will go to and you just know guys. It's like, oh, it's that guy. He's really good. But nothing really too competitive.
Yeah, speaking of that, like, did you go to arcade by yourself or with your friends? Do you have like a circle of X-Men guys?
When I was a kid, my cousin, she used to live right next to High Point. When I was there, I used to go there and we used to go to Playtime.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I used to go a lot with my cousin. Yeah, that's when I was young. So I was actually going to Playtime since I was even really young, like since I was a kid playing Street Fighter 2 and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But after that I met players and then I'd meet up with them and stuff like that. So,
so kind of walk us through like your first tournament at X-Men, leading up to you going to EVO for X-Men vs. Street Fighter. Like, how did you get from your first tournament to that point? Like, how many years did you spend in the tournament scene before you went to?
There wasn't really a tournament scene here in Australia.
Yeah.
I pretty much just played the game all the time and made combo videos, and I just happened to get good just because I was. I was just playing so much, and I was always like trying to discover new combos, new setups. So yeah, I was really addicted to the game. So I really didn't have that much people to play against. It was mostly just that I dedicated a lot of time to it.
It's interesting that you could get so good, you know, just playing by yourself. Like,
I had people to play with, but I mean, the community is very small.
Yeah.
So, but I guess that's like for everywhere in the world for X-Men. Like, there's not really that big scene anywhere. So yeah.
See, the first time I actually heard about you when I was listening to Gutex's podcast, and he had Dogface on, and they were talking about the history. And he mentioned like this, you know, this combo video master Toxie came down from Australia. Yeah. So I did a bit more research, and it's like, is that the same guy? So how did you actually make the videos? Did you just play emulators and then
just emulators?
Okay.
And I'd send the file to like a video editor. Depends who was editing the video, and they'd capture it and everything like that, and that's it. I'd pretty much just do the combos and everything else. I mean, the first one or two videos I made were really dodgy ones. I did it by myself. I had no video editing skills or anything. So, but then after that, then I met a few people, and I met Lezard. He's a very good combo video maker. He made SNH2, which is one of my probably favorite combo videos. And then he's a very good editor as well. So yeah, he edited my videos, and Hypersonic, another guy, edited another one of my videos. So yeah, that was pretty good.
So you were playing Sagat and Vanilla, Street Fighter. So tell us the story of how you came to use Akuma. So why did you switch from Vanilla?
I just thought that Sagat was really boring to use. I didn't have fun with him. And like for the first while that I was playing the game, I was using Sagat all the time. But by the end of it, I was only using Sagat when I went to tournaments. But in casuals, I was too bored to even use Sagat. So I thought there's no point to play a character that I'm really bored to use. And if I keep only using him in tournament, his level is going to go down. So instead, I was mucking around with Akuma at the time, and I found him real fun. And it just happened to be that I played him in casual games so much that he ended up just becoming my main. Like,
so
he became
switched.
Fun, and then I just pretty much switched over.
Oh, interesting. Cool. Well, I mean, yeah, I can actually see that, because Akuma has ridiculous setups, especially Vanilla.
Like, once I found out about Takedo Shiki and that, then from then on, I was hooked.
You once told me that you innovate a lot of stuff that you did in X-Men vs. Street Fighter.
Yep.
So how did you do that, like, in X-Men?
How did I do it?
Just sat and thought about it?
I just used to think about the game all the time. And yeah, since I didn't have, like, in SF4, there's always people to play. Anytime I feel like playing, I can just go and play someone. Whereas in X-Men vs. Street Fighter, there's hardly not many people to play. I can only play maybe once in a blue moon with somebody. So most of the time that I'm playing, I'm just playing in something like... Just training mode or something, like that. So most of the time I'm spending, I'm just, instead of playing the game, because I can't find out many people to play, I'll just try to discover things. So that's how I really got into pretty much combo videos, that I was just playing and playing like that.
Not to mention that these were most likely the dark days of Killera in Australia.
Yeah, it was really, really bad then. Like, we'd play on Killera, like me and Carnage and Naruga and that, but the lag was really bad in that, so it wasn't really that enjoyable.
I remember in 2002, I fired up Killera, and I used my old name's Carnage, and I came on, and everyone was like, "Oh, Carnage, you're back!" And I'm like, probably not the same guy.
Yeah.
So that was like, and I was on dial-up, and we played Alpha 3, and it was like absolutely awful.
So I mean, you know Hitch and Naruga since back in the days of X-Men.
I met them probably around 2004 or something when I was playing Killera, but I was playing X-Men long before that in the arcade. Pretty much when I got back into games again, that's when I found out about Shoryuken and all these type thing and online playing that. So I just used to play online for a bit.
GGP,
pretty much.
Why do you dislike Third Strike?
I don't like it for myself. I think it's a good game for someone who likes it, but personally I don't enjoy it. Like, when I first saw the game, I didn't see any really familiar characters, and the characters that I did know, they looked so different. And then there was parrying, and I didn't like the fact that I could only choose one super. Like, pretty much nothing really appealed to me about the game, so I kind of never bothered to get into it. But later on down the track, I played here and there a bit of Third Strike, but I never I never followed it. I never studied the game or anything. I just play it once in a blue moon, but that's about it.
To me, it seemed like all the Third Strike people are probably going to, you know, castrate me. But it seems like such a step back. Like, you played you played ST, then I played Alpha. And then from Alpha to go back to Third Strike to one super, there's no, you know, no custom combos or anything, except for Young, obviously. It just seemed like such a strange game. And like you said, there's all the characters were not there. There's only like Chun, Ken, Ryu, who were really the familiar ones. And I think the other problem with Third Strike was, not just Third Strike, but the whole Street Fighter 3 series, as it came out, because it came on CPS3 hardware, and we had CPS2, like Alpha 1, Alpha 2, Alpha 3, the game just didn't look as good. Like, I prefer a lot more the Alpha series sprites.
I prefer the Alpha sprites and the Street Fighter 2 sprites, just how I'm used to looking at Street Fighter. Like, the graphics probably are good, but to me, that's not how I'm used to seeing the characters.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, speaking of that, like, so what was your first reaction when you first saw Street Fighter 4?
When I first saw Street Fighter 4, when I saw it online, like all the videos, and I didn't really care that much about it. Mm-hmm. But then when I actually played it, I loved it.
You loved it?
Yeah, I loved it.
Because
it's just like, when the Third Strike was very popular, mm-hmm. I wasn't into Third Strike, so I'd only play like ST and Alpha 2 and all the old games. Mm-hmm. So then when SF4 came out, and then for once, that was I could get into a game that was actually really big, and I actually liked the game, so I didn't have to play like some game that only a few people played. I'd be very happy, because it was like the old games I played, and a lot of people played it, so that's how come I got really into it.
Exactly the same boat for me. Exactly. Yeah. When I first picked up 4, I was like, wow, this is really ST-like, and there seems to be a whole ton of people. And the thing is, I didn't really play vanilla, I predominantly played Super.
Yep.
So to me, it was like, yeah, very big, very popular, none of this parrying rubbish. Please don't kill me.
So, I mean, what do you think of the effect that SF4 has had on the Melbourne community?
It's been excellent. I mean, it's just brought Street Fighter really back to life.
I didn't
imagine it. When SF4 was coming out, I thought, people are just going to still play Third Strike. They're going to not even bother about SF4, but I was totally wrong.
Yeah.
And I was really happy about that.
Yeah.
Pretty much it killed off Third Strike the instant it came out.
RIP Third Strike. We're so dead.
So, I mean, you recently got signed by TTC, the Traveling Circus.
Yeah.
So, tell us about the day you found out about it.
The day I found out about it, I think I was at Galactic Circus at the time, and then Pyro rang me up and he told me about that it could be something happening.
Yeah.
He said, don't say anything. Keep it quiet, and then for a few days then we'll confirm. And then when it was confirmed, I was really happy about it. Like, I didn't expect it.
I mean, how cool is it, like, the people that you just saw at Shadow Showdown turn out to be your teammates?
Exactly, yeah. You couldn't ask for a better teammates than those guys.
Yeah, definitely.
So do you correspond with them? Do you, like, share Kuma strategies with Kokido online? You don't really...
I post on his blog a few times. I chat on to him on Facebook chat. Yeah, not too often, but I do keep in contact.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now that you're a sponsored player, do you actually feel any more pressure to perform at tournaments? Or...
Maybe a little bit more, but I just do my
just
own
do
thing.
Your thing.
Do as usual. Yeah, I don't make it affect me anyway.
But how do you get player in a tournament and not let things affect you? How do you maintain? How do you keep the mental strength to keep calm? What's your approach?
I don't know. I just play, because I've been playing in tournaments for quite a while now, and when I first started tournaments, I was nervous as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's just after you've played tournaments for a while, you'll become accustomed to it.
I see.
So yeah, I don't really do anything special. It's just, I think after a while you'll get used to it.
Okay. So in a team of you, Tokido and GamerB, who's the anchor?
Definitely not me.
and what if this character lock?
I don't know. Takeda's Akuma is better than mine, so I'll choose someone else.
But who would you choose?
Who would I choose?
Because you play a fair few
I don't really have a secondary character. My secondary character is pretty much so many different characters. Like, I don't have a standout second character, so probably whoever I feel like on the day, I guess.
I see. Cool.
You were one of the world's best X-Men versus Street Fighter players. So will you look to do the same thing for Marvel vs. Capcom 3?
Or is it too different?
I'm really going to try hard to get really good at it. But the thing is that I don't see that many people in Australia and especially Melbourne playing it. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I'll try my best to get really good, but to get to a really high level to compete with the Americans and that here is going to be very, very, very hard. Mm-hmm. So, but I mean, I'll try my best, but I'll see what I can do.
Mm-hmm. Because like, this is just insane how quickly the game has already been discovered. I mean, they've already found, you know, unblockables and all this other crazy crap in America. So I guess in a way, like when you were sponsored, I was kind of hoping that you get to go overseas a lot more.
Yeah.
And bring back the American secrets.
Yeah.
In a way.
The American
and I really hope that you do go overseas, because it's not, you know, the whole Australia representation.
Yeah.
It's not that. Like, when people learn new stuff, at least what I found in Melbourne community, people tend to share a lot more.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's really a good thing. That's actually one thing I really like about this community in general. People share a lot of stuff.
Did you play MVC 2 a lot or not?
I hardly played MVC 2. There was no release scene in Melbourne for it. But I played Marvel vs. Capcom 1. I really like that game.
Actually, from what I've seen, a lot of the MVC 1 players are coming back and playing MVC 3.
I see.
Just in a lot of the American guys who are not that well known, like, alright, I'm going to say like DSP, but it's not even him. A lot of the Connecticut players who used to play quite a lot of Marvel 1 are actually coming back and trying MVC 3. So, yeah, it's looking really interesting. And I think it's good, because I think we needed another versus game.
Yeah.
MVC 2 was so far advanced, like if anybody try to pick it up, you just couldn't really get into it. With this, in a way, I guess we're pulling out of Street Fighter 4. We're sort of resetting the whole deal. So it should be good.
So at this point, you like SF4 more or Marvel more?
Right now I like Marvel more.
Because it's
but
newer.
I think I can't say I don't really know, but if it's just a more fun game in general, but it could be also that this game is just brand new out, and I've been playing SF4 for so long, and just having a change to play a different game feels so fun. But yeah, right now Marvel feels way more fun.
Way more fun.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So how do you approach a behemoth game like Marvel? Where do you start?
How do you learn a game like MVC 2?
When I first played the game, I was just playing it with I was just pretty much, first of all, just trying to get used to the button layout.
Mm.
After I got used to the button layout, I was trying like, I guess, old type strategies from other games and that. And then when the game came out, I read the hyper guide that was on Shoryuken. It's very informative.
Yes, it's very good.
And I watched a whole lot of videos, and I spent a lot of time in training mode, practicing combos, seeing how damage scaling works, trying to get the most out of my combos without scaling too much, and figuring out these type of things. After I figured out some combos that I was satisfied with using in match, then I'd think of ways, how can I land them? So then I'd think of setups that I could use in that. So yeah, and then I'd try out a few different characters. Like, first I start off with Zero on my team, but I felt that he dies so quick, and his combos really don't do that much damage. So then I was like looking through the cast to find a character, and I saw Wesker. I really liked him, and he's got high health as well, so then I stuck him on my team.
Wesker looks really, really good.
I mean,
the gun teleport options, you can do crazy cross-ups with him. If you partner him up with the right assist, he can be really dangerous.
But I mean, what do you think of what Marvel end up like? What do you think this game, what would be the dominant strategy in this game right now?
Because at the moment, everybody's just picking Sentinel and then waiting for X Factor level 3.
Game is so new at the moment, so I can't really tell, but like, it seems that, I don't know, right now all I can tell is Sentinel is really, really good, and I feel that X Factor is overpowered. I don't really like how I don't like how it's so powerful.
Okay. What about the damage in the game? You think it's too high?
Yeah, the damage is too high, and X Factor makes it even more high. But yeah, I think the X Factor got toned down a bit in damage, and the damage in general got a bit less, I'd like it more, but I still love the game, but that's my only problem with it.
Well, see, Yipes and some of the guys basically said that for tournaments, they're thinking of setting the damage to low rather than medium.
I see.
So do you think that would help out?
I
think it's a good idea.
Because they're saying that with low, it's similar to more health like in MVC 2.
Uh-huh.
So you don't die off one combo, it takes like two or three longer combos.
Like, maybe if they made a DLC of the game or something and toned down the damage, like, and made it that like the default, I'd be happy with it. But I don't really like messing with settings the way the game is meant to be played. I'd feel like I'm playing the game the wrong way. So if the damage is set to that, I'm only going to play with that. So
I see. I like that. Yeah.
So what new things do you like about Marvel? About Marvel 3?
Marvel 3, what do I like?
What do you like about the game?
Well, I don't know, let me put it this actually. What do you think of the button layout?
At first, I didn't like the button layout because I'm just
used to six.
I'm used to the old button layouts and all that. But yeah, after first week or so, I was, you know, pressing the wrong buttons quite a few times because I'm used to pressing other things. But after a while, since I don't play any of those older versus games anymore, once I get used to that button layout, which I almost have now, like then it just becomes the new standard, and then
it's like a natural.
It doesn't really affect me that much anymore. But yeah, the first week that I was playing, I was fiddling quite a bit with the buttons.
But yeah, what new things do you like about Marvel?
What do I like? The thing I like about it is not too similar, that it's similar than older versus games, but not too similar that someone who's played the game for
10 years
of Marvel 2 or something, if they play that game and someone who hasn't played Marvel 2, they can still be able to compete with them because it's not exactly the same. But at the same time, that player who's played Marvel 2 or whatever is still going to have an advantage as well. But it's not so extreme. Like say a player right now getting into Marvel 2 and playing one of the top MVC 2 players, they got no chance.
Exactly.
Whereas someone who hasn't played much Marvel 2 and they're getting into Marvel 3 now, maybe after a while, they might be able to compete well with catch up more easier. So it's a good mix that it advantages the people who have played before, but it doesn't advantage them too much. So
okay. I think that was something that they've done really, really well.
Yeah.
I mean, I never played seriously any of the previous Versus games. Actually, I'd probably say that Marvel Super Heroes vs. Street Fighter was my biggest Versus game that I played. And I came down and, you know, first time today I picked up Marvel because mine's still in the mail. You know, and I tapped out a couple of things. And yeah, it seems to, like, it's not very hard to get used to the combo system, but I can see the depth of the game that it could have.
That's what I like about it. Like, it's simple to get into, but at the same time, it's got a lot of room to grow. Like, if you want to get really good at it, there's so much things you could learn. But at the same time, if someone just wants to jump in and have fun, they can also do that. It's a bit like SF4 in that way.
But in SF4, I feel like I'm a lot more restricted with my character.
Yeah.
While in this game, it seems to me like the more imagination you have in a versus game, the better you're going to do, because you're going to think about new strategies, new ideas, new tack-ons. But in SF4, I feel a lot more restricted, just because you can't do all the crazy crap.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose that's probably maybe why you even play Akuma, because Akuma has
so many options.
That's what I like about Akuma. He has so many options that kept me having fun with him without getting bored with him for so long, because each week or so I'd find out new things about Akuma.
Yeah.
And like, Akuma is one of the characters that keeps, as the time goes on, he's always getting new things, always new setups, mostly from what I see from Takedo or other Japanese players or what other people discover. Like, there's always some new thing to learn.
Well, when Takedo came down and he showed you that cross-up but not cross-up,
yeah,
it just blew my mind, because I didn't even...
He had so many crazy things.
So many things,
yeah,
which, yeah, we didn't even know or, you know, haven't discovered yet.
Yeah.
And that's something... I think that's another thing that I really like about fighting games, is they seem to have this long-lasting value. If the gaming system is good, you can, you know, the game can last for almost 10 years. I mean, look at ST. They're still actually discovering new shit in ST.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not as often, but they still find new stuff, which is, just blows my mind.
I mean, speaking of Akuma, what do you think of him in AE?
In AE, pretty much the same, but I prefer playing him in Super, because I find in AE he's got more bad matches now. I think that Yuan is really hard for him. Like, it's a really bad match. Blanka got improved by finding the Blanka match harder now.
What way? Like, how come Blanka is
basically
harder?
his hop or slide or something, it got
the slide got a buff.
Slide got buffed, and I think his hop is maybe slightly fast, so I can't really air fireball from any distance now. From when I used to be able to do it from certain range or fireball, now I'm pretty much banned from fireball totally. So yeah, it's just that, and but pretty much just the same, like just slight difference. But I think the main worst thing is just going to be Yuan. Like in Melbourne, there's not really many Yuans, but I'm imagining if I played against a really good Yuan, it's going to be really, really difficult, because even like a average Yuan, I can already feel that the match is, you know, I'm pretty restricted in what I can do.
Didn't Tokido say on his blog that he's considering to learning Fei Long?
Yeah, I think he said that he's going to pick up Fei Long for the matchup, because he said the match is really, really bad
that
for Akuma.
That one-sided.
Yeah.
Wow.
What do you think of Yuan? Is he more powerful than Vanilla Sagat?
Nope.
Nobody is as powerful as the SF4 series.
The difference is that in this game there's powerful characters, but at the same time there's a group of powerful characters. Mm. Where in SF4, Sega is like pretty much the king at
the
top. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there's also Akuma and Ryu in that game who are very good, but Saga still was had a quite a bit more further. Where Yun is really good, but then Fei Long is near him and etc. So. Yeah.
So you get your bunches of characters.
Yeah, so that's why I'd say he won't dominate as much.
Mm-hmm. So it's like he's really good, but he has bad matchups, but Sagat didn't have.
Yeah, Sagat didn't have any bad match. His worst matchup was 5-5 with Akuma, basically. Mm-hmm. Every other match was 6-4 and or better.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So who's your favourite player from overseas, from Japan, besides Takedo?
Besides Takedo? There's so many. Yeah, it's pretty much Takedo. He's the one I watch most videos from, and... that, and then I also like Daigo, Momochi, Kendebu, and all
the top ones.
Yeah, all the top players. I like watching all of them. So,
what about the US?
I like Justin Wong. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, why don't you tell us a little bit about your EVO experience? Like, who really impressed you when you played against them?
I didn't really get to play too many casuals. There's not many like Souths, and there's so many people there. Mm-hmm. So. Pretty much you can only play people if you money match them, but I only money match like a very few small amount of people. Mm-hmm. So from the few games I played, Alex Vai really impressed me. Mm-hmm. He was out of all the guys I played in US, Alex Vai was I was mostly impressed with him. Yeah.
And you also played a money match with Shizza as well, and you actually beat him.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us a little about that?
Basically I played him, but the matchup is in Akuma's favour, and I play the Chun-Li matchup so many times with Naruga and also Jeff, and Jeff's Chun-Li is very, very, very good. And Chun-Li is one of the matches I play most of the time, so if I versus a Chun-Li, I'm quite confident in that match, so
Okay. Man, I would love to see that match on video.
I mean, how do you rate Jeff's Chun? Like, I saw him do really well against Mago Sagat, which is extremely
I rate
impressive.
Jeff in the matches that he knows, really, really, really good.
Yeah, like Sagat,
but
right?
But there's... Since he mostly only plays at Blue House, there's only a certain group of characters that play there, so he doesn't have that much experience versus the wide variety of characters.
But
in the characters that he knows, he's by far the best Chun-Li in Australia.
By far.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, what do you think of Infiltration, Korean Akuma?
Yeah, I haven't really seen much of him, but from what I saw at Evo, I was really impressed with him. He had a different style, Akuma, but it works. It was really good.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I guess him and Takedo's style is like really, really different.
Yeah, yeah.
But he did very well.
I guess you're more of a student of Takedo than...
Because I really like Takedo's way of playing Akuma because all of his setups, and I really enjoy that part about Akuma, so I like to use like a setup style of Akuma, but at the same time I got inspired a lot by Momochi when he used to play Akuma too. Like, Takedo is quite aggressive Akuma. Momochi, I really like his patience and that, and he strike at the right moment. So pretty much I as a player in SF4, I'd say that I'm more something careful or defensive or something. So I'd play like a bit like Momochi, of course not as good as him, but I'd be very patient. But then when I get the knockdown, then I'd go using Takedo's style tricks.
I see.
I'd use a bit of both. Like, I'd see a different Akuma's videos and I'd take bits from each and also with my own style and put it all together.
I see.
That's how I use my Akuma.
I think the way you play is like you like to attack but be extremely safe.
I like to be really safe. Basically, when I get my opportunity to attack, I'm going to go full on. But if I'm not in the position to do so, I can wait forever.
Nice.
I'm not going to just rush in.
So, Takedo being one of your teammates, do you have any tips for him for Marvel vs. Capcom 3?
No, I don't have any tips for him.
Because he made quite a big statement saying, he wants to challenge America.
It wouldn't surprise me. Like, he's very talented in all types of games. Even if he hasn't really played much versus games or any before, he can pick it up really quickly.
Do you think he can take him?
No.
Let's talk a bit more about the recent tournaments that we had in Melbourne. Like, we had Shadow Showdown. So, you want to talk a bit about your experience at Shadow Showdown?
Shadow Showdown was probably like the greatest experience of my gaming, time gaming, basically. Like, not just the tournament itself, like, that we had the guests here for about 1 week. That also was really great to spend time with them and getting to play with these players because we don't really have any exposure to these because our country is so far away from everyone else. So ours is one of the countries that we never get to play these type of
international
guests. So having that experience was really good for everybody. So and I think a lot of people got a lot out of it. So and everyone enjoyed themselves a lot. So yeah, that's definitely one of the highlights of
Uphill Gaming.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
I feel the same way. So it was just such a personal, you know, joy.
Yeah, I mean, just getting to just spend time with Takedo. That first day, I think, is probably one of the best days I've had in quite a long time. You know, picking him up from the airport, just sitting down and shit-talking at Ali's place was really, really fun. And then the illustrious video that made it on the online group, Takedo and Margo doing push-ups on the machine.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So what about the tournament itself? Tell us a bit about your thoughts during the tournament. Were you rooting for Takedo when Takedo was fighting Margo to get back to grand finals?
I was going for Takedo. I want to see Akuma win.
Oh, so the whole way.
I always like to see Akuma's win.
So what about when Margo was playing Game of Beat, who were you rooting for?
I didn't really mind. I like all those players, so yeah, it's just that I prefer Takedo to win, mostly because he's also is my character, so I like to see my character winning.
To be honest, when I was sitting there, I kind of thought Margo would beat Takedo, but he proved me wrong. He got back.
Yeah, like in tournaments, anything can really happen. Like Margo might have been the favorite, but Takedo's skill level is very similar to him. So anyone out of those three players, when they play each other, anyone can win. It just depends on who did well in that game. So anyone is.
It depends on the day, basically.
Yeah, it depends on the day.
And Takedo nearly came back and he won the first set, and he was seemed to be almost on the verge of beating Game of B, and then Game of B took it.
Yeah, that was a really exciting moment, I guess, for Game of Beat. Game of Beat fans, but for the Akuma players,
the Eon fans. Yeah. So what was were you sitting next to Kani?
I can't remember now. Okay. I was watching the match too much. I can't remember where I was sitting.
That was probably one of the first times I actually ever saw you throw your hands up in when Takedo beat Margo. It was such an interesting moment, because you usually always seem so calm and so collected.
Yeah.
But at that point, it was just like bang.
I think I've been watching these players online for so long, and seeing them in actual person playing is just like,
it's completely different.
Yeah. It was really fun for me to see that.
Yeah, it's like watching an NBA on TV, and then watching it live is two completely different experiences.
So, I mean, who would you like to see at Shadow Showdown 2011?
Who would I like to see? I'd definitely like to see Margo, Takedo, and Game of B, same ones who came the last year, because all of them were great. And on top of that, other players I'd like to see is Kindevu, Momochi, Daigo. I'd like to see maybe a few American players, like Justin Wong and things like that, Alex Valle.
Well, we heard rumors that Gutex and Mike Ross seem very interested in coming down as well, so
it
would be good. I think Australia needs a bit more exposure. I mean, our scenes are a little bit smallish, but you know, we are still here and we are trying hard as well.
So what would you like to see in the Melbourne community in the future?
Right now, everyone was really excited for Marvel to come out, but once it came out, I've seen a lot of people already they're disheartened by it, or they've played it a couple times and they already don't want to play it anymore. Yeah. So I guess right now I'd really like to see the Marvel get really popular here. So I hope that gets big.
Do you think that's because Melbourne seems like an arcade town? And Marvel's not an arcade, and that seems to deter a lot of
I don't know if it's just about the arcade. It's just that a lot of these players who are playing SF4 right now, most of them didn't play any versus games, if they did, only a very few. So maybe getting into versus games after they've been playing SF4 for so long, maybe it's too fast for them, or that they think the combo is too crazy, or I don't know.
They are two completely different
games. Yeah, they're two really different games, so I just expected more people to be really excited about it.
Don't worry, I'm dropping SF4. I'm strictly sticking to Marvel. It's going to be ST and Marvel from now on.
I don't know. Do you think that playing two different games can kind of harm your game? Harm your execution?
That can't harm the game. It will only make you better, I believe.
Learning more games will make you better. That's your firm opinion. Takedo thinks the same way as well.
Before SF4 came out, I played so many different games at once, and then when SF4 came out, there was no other game I played at the same time with it, so at times it'd get boring. But now that I've got two games to play, it's much more fun. If I'm sick of one, I can play the other. It's a bit of variety.
Mm. So, when, speaking of the older games, do you always exclusively, did you always just play Capcom games, or did you play SNK games?
I played SNK here and there. I used to play King of Fighters 98, but that was about it from SNK. I pretty much only play Capcom.
Okay. Yeah. Exclusive mode. That's fair enough. Yeah, because I started out with Capcom, and I had this dark period between...
Dark ages.
Yeah, it was the dark ages, because between like 99 and 2003, 2004, I've exclusively just played King of the Fighters games and SNK games. But then, basically, because there wasn't really anything coming out from Capcom, and it had Fighting Jam. Hooray, we all play that game for 2 minutes. So, yeah, it was... I don't know, to me, that seems to have that dark ages, and... I guess it really shows that Capcom is really the leader in fighting games in general.
Definitely.
Because when they introduced Street Fighter 4, I mean, bang, they basically rebooted the entire genre, which is unbelievable. I mean, I suppose they started the entire thing with SF2.
Well, speaking of other developers, are you going to play Street Fighter vs. Tekken, Mortal Kombat 9?
I'll play Street Fighter vs. Tekken, the Capcom version.
Yeah, but you won't play the Namco
one. I don't think I'll play the Namco one. Like, I wanted to get into Tekken, but that was only like maybe 6 months ago or something like that. But at that time, the Tekken scene was already dying off a bit.
Yeah.
But now that Marvel's out, like I've got Marvel as my second game, so I'm not really that interested in learning Tekken now. So but I'd like to play Street Fighter vs Tekken.
Mm.
I'm not really too much into Mortal Kombat. I'll give it a shot. Like I'll try it. Like most likely I'll play it for fun, but I don't think I'll be taking that game serious.
Did you ever play the CVS series?
I played it here and there just for fun. I don't play in serious.
During the dark ages.
Yeah, I just play it here and there for fun. But that's cool.
Because I don't think Australia really had that big of a CVS scene.
They had a bit of a scene, but not that big.
Because I know it was really big in the States and really big in Japan.
Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah, pretty much before SF4, it was mostly like Third Strike for SF. That was the main big game.
Yeah, it seems to me that Australia tends to just sort of pick the... Like Street Fighter is predominantly the core fighting game that everybody plays in Australia, but you don't see. I mean, assuming it's because of our community size, but you don't see like too many other people branching off. Like Marvel is really big in the States, CBS was really big in the States, but we just basically stick to Street Fighter, and that's it.
Yeah,
it's, I don't know why. It's just I really wish we really need to expand. I think.
Our simple minds can't
comprehend. Yeah, two games at the same time. Pleasure overload.
So, I mean, do you see yourself playing Street Fighter in 5 years' time?
Most probably. I'll play until I get bored. Whenever I get bored, then I'll stop.
So you won't stop, you just keep playing until you get bored?
Until I get bored,
okay. Awesome. So who do you enjoy playing the most?
Who do I enjoy playing the most?
Yeah.
Like, character or play... Like,
both.
Both. What character I enjoy playing the most? In SF4, Akuma.
No, I mean, against.
Who do I like playing against?
Against the most, yeah.
Please don't say DJ.
In SF4, I really, the vanilla one, I really enjoyed playing Sagat, because that game was so fun with the loops and the everything like that, and it was such like a high stakes match. Like one knockdown from Akuma can win the game, or one uppercut from Sagat could win it. That was really fun. So yeah, still in Super, that's one of my most enjoyable matches still, but it's not as fun as in
vanilla,
and probably my worst match that I hate playing against probably Alferte. I hate that character.
Yeah. Like, why do you hate just, a character? Guessing game.
It's just annoying, and it doesn't feel like a real Street Fighter match. It's just so random. Like, I don't enjoy versing that character at all.
What about Viper?
Viper is a quite hard match. At the same time, it's still fun, but Furte, like, finding him against him, I don't have any fun at all.
The reason I ask is Takeda hates Viper so much.
Well, I mean, it's hard. It's a hard match, but I still enjoy it. But Furte, I get no enjoyment playing him whatsoever.
Okay. To tell you the truth, I don't think a lot of people enjoy playing against Furte because he's so random. He's literally almost random. The runs, the armor, the overhead splashes, it's a guessing game, basically.
So, which people do you like to play? Like, who do you love to play against? If you like Sagat, that means you like to play heavy weapons, right?
It depends. Like, I don't have anyone that I really like. Probably the one I really like to play is probably Sol and Aruga, because they play so many different characters. So, when I play them, we just play so many different characters against each other. It's quite interesting. It's not just one matchup over and over. So,
and also it sort of goes back to like what you said earlier. In a way, when you play those guys, you tend to discover a lot of new stuff, similar to what you did with X-Men, I suppose.
Yeah.
so used to Naruga and so to learn the different matchups that you don't get to see when you
most of the time we play, we're just mostly playing for fun and mucking around, but yeah, it's enjoyable. Okay. But yeah, for playing like a certain matchup, I really enjoy versing Jeff's Chun-Li. His, I mean, that matchup is in Akuma's favour. At the same time, he's really, really good at that matchup.
Mm.
And it's always a really fun match to play. So, yeah, I enjoy playing him as well.
Awesome. So, when you're playing Street Fighter, where do you look on the screen?
Everywhere, I think.
You're just constantly switching between the corner and the
corner. I haven't really thought of it, but I think I look everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah, recently, what actually I've been trying to do is I've been trying to sort of zoom out a little and just watch the actual
whole bezel. I pretty much see everything. That's why when I hear people say that they didn't realize their time ran out or something like that, I'm confused. That I think, how didn't they see that? So I'm guessing that I must just look at the whole screen then, because I see everything, like the meters, the time,
and I think that's really good, actually, because if you sort of like look at the entire screen, you get the whole picture. I mean, I suppose because in a way, like, I mean, I was just playing Marvel then and concentrated so hard on my character I completely forgot about the time, completely forgot about everything else. So I think that's why people tend to either look on like the opponent character or their own character, but they tend to forget to look at the whole picture.
Okay, very interesting. So tell us a little bit about what you do in your free time.
Playing games, watching movies.
What's the best movie that you watched recently?
I don't know. I don't really like too much movies that came out recently. I like a lot of old classic movies.
So what's your favorite old movie? Like,
I really like horror movies. I'd probably say that Halloween is one of my favorite movies.
Awesome. Yeah. Recently, horror movies have been pretty.
Yeah. Well, too many remakes now and stuff like that.
Did you watch the remake of Friday the 13th?
Yeah, I saw it.
Oh god.
it was
vomit inducing.
Yeah,
that's all I can say.
Well, I mean, do you like the Japanese horror movies? Like,
I watched the American ones and Italian also. I think they make very good horror movies.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Well, we've got Evil Dead today. You want to watch that?
I've seen it so many times.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Any last thoughts or shout-outs?
Shout-outs to everyone in the Melbourne community or in Australia in general, but especially Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
Shout-outs to Travelling Circus, obviously, for giving me this opportunity and sponsoring me. Shoutouts to, I don't know, there's so many people
Shoutouts
to all of our Shadowloo guests and everything.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Tech Boys and Tech you guys for interviewing. And so many people. Support. Heavy Weapon, Mole, H, etc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. That's going to wrap it up.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you, Toxie.
Thank you, Toxie.
This is Excessum from The X Report and Shadowloo.com. Keep listening to Being a...
You're listening to Don't Be a Scrub Podcast.
Alright, cut it out. You're listening to Don't Be a Scrub Podcast.
Stay hungry, stay salty.
Stay hungry, stay salty. And continue listening.
It's going to be a lot of editing work.
Yeah!
Once again, we'd like to thank Toxie for sitting down and doing the interview with us. And on a final note, if I did sound a little bit unenthusiastic in the opening intro, it's because I had to get up at 7 o'clock to drive to Burwood from Geelong, and I basically had about 2 hours sleep the previous night, so I was actually dead tired. That's going to wrap up episode 11 of Don't Be a Scrub Podcast. If you have any feedback, any advice, or anything you'd just like to say, feel free to leave comments on any of the websites where you download this podcast. We basically read all of them. Feel free to PM us on OzHodo or Shadowloo. Stay hungry, stay salty, and thank you for listening.